I want to minister for a few moments this morning using for a title, Jesus is the Way. Jesus is the Way. And before we read the scripture, let me just say this. Every person that's ever been on this planet gets on this planet by way of birth. Everyone in this room, everyone watching on the webcast, we all have a birth date. And you know what your birth date is, or most people do. However, every person also that has been on this planet is going to have a death day. It's the day that you leave. Now, the death day, we don't know until it happens, but we know that we have one. So every person, you have a birth date and you have a death date, and there's nothing you can do about either one of those. Those are set by the Lord's sovereign will. You can't change them. But everything between your birth date and your death date, you get to operate and navigate that by your free moral agency. You make decisions about your life. You set the path that you're going to go. How your life turns out ultimately has been your decision. You've made a lot of decisions to get to wherever that you are, good or bad. Well, here in the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, beginning with verse 12, it says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning for the engrafted word that is able to save the soul. We ask you today, Lord, that as offerings come in from here in the worship room across the internet, that you would bless these families, that you would stretch the money to meet the need of the ministry, and that you would give us wisdom to use every penny for the furtherance of the gospel. Now, Father, I ask you that you would use me today, make a certain sound through this vessel. I submit my whole faculties to you, and I ask you that you would move in the hearts of your people through this word. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you. And the church said amen. So between your birth date and your death date, you have to navigate the path that you're going to take. You have to make decisions, and it changes the way that you walk through this life. But the psalmist has given us a warning that we would be well blessed to take heed of. There is a way. It's a real way. You can really walk this path. There's a way that seemeth right to a man. Seemeth right, it means that when you look at it with all of your wisdom, when you calculate it out, to you it seems like definitely this is the way to go. But ultimately, when it turns out, that turned into a way of death. And it doesn't mean that you ultimately die walking that way. It means that you did not have the abundance of life that the Lord wants for you. And so all of our decisions matter supremely. When you look at people now, people, you know, on drugs, or people are numbing their brain with alcohol, they're unhappy, they're depressed, they're suicidal. And how did all of that happen? People make decisions in their life and they move in a direction. And every time it happens, nobody grows up saying, "Man, I can't wait to be a fentanyl addict. Can't wait. Man, I'm looking forward to the gutter." Nobody grows up like that. But there's a decision that is made that they think is the right decision, but it moves them in a direction that they did not perceive. Listen, every one of us in here have had these kind of decisions in our lives. All of us have had these troubles. There's a way that seemeth right. It seemeth right to a man. But the ends thereof are the ways of death and destruction. So that tells us that if we're going to navigate this life, we cannot lean on our own understanding. Because if we do, we're going to get it wrong sooner or later. Probably sooner than later, we're going to get it wrong. The Lord said through the prophet Jeremiah, "Thus saith the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask, for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and then walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. Now, what is he saying in this passage? He begins by saying, stand in the ways. Well, what that means is that you walk until there's a fork in the road. It's not just a path. You can go to the left. You can go to the right. You can go down the center. There's two more paths on either side. There's a multitude of paths that you could take. You stand in the ways and see, understand. There's a lot of different paths I can take here. But then you ask, which means you pray, which means you seek the Lord's counsel before you just stumble off in the wrong direction. This is a place that almost all Christians, we have a deficit in this, because we're smart people, but we don't make good decisions all the time. We make decisions on our limited knowledge, and we don't take advantage of the omniscient brain that the Lord has, that he's willing to give us counsel. And he'll cause us to lay down in green pasture. He'll lead us beside running waters. But too often we just call the shot without the benefit of the Lord's counsel. And he's saying here, stand in the ways and see, you got a decision to make. Now ask. Ask for the old paths. You know, our nation is in an absolute mess. Back when I was growing up, I think I was still in my father's house. I was still less than 18. And they had a group, I believe it was Alice Cooper, came out with the song, Babies Making Babies. It's way back in the day. And they were kind of projecting what they thought was happening. But now when you look at our society now, you have absolutely babies making babies. But how does that happen? How does that occur? Young people, listen to me. You know that you should not be doing certain things. You should not, how do I say this? When flesh touches flesh, there is a path that is, you're destined to go down that path, okay? I'm not sure. Is everybody cool with that? You can't, flesh does not rub against flesh and nothing happen. And see, when it first happens, you think you get away with it. I'm talking to our young people, but also to our own people. You think you got away with it because you just had a hickey on your neck way down here where nobody could see it. So you wear a collar. Nobody knows. But that's already telling you, you're going the wrong way. As a matter of fact, anything that's putting a bruise on you, that's the wrong way. Your body's telling you that wasn't supposed to happen. But we are in this situation and our flesh is rubbed against flesh. We're excited. And we make a decision. It would be good to just have sex. Let's just get it over. Let's just do it. Let's just do it. And it seemeth right unto a man. But the end thereof is a child that you can't support. And it is an absolute statistic that most women that have a child out before they're married, I don't know, it's like 80% live below the poverty line for the next decade, next two decades. Because it devastates your chances in life. It lowers your value on the market. Are y'all with me today? There's no man that grows up, he's a good man, he grew up in a good home, his father put him in college, he's an astrophysicist, he's making 250 grand a year. He says, you know what, I have to find me a wife. Let's see, I'm looking for one with three children already. That doesn't happen. I'm trying to be real with you. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof, you're going to hurt yourself if you don't stop and ask the Lord, what should I do in this situation? What direction should I go? And here's why we don't ask God. He don't tell us what we want to hear. He don't tell us what we want to hear. He says, see thou doest it not. He says, thou shalt not commit adultery. He says, thou shalt not do that. And we don't like that, so we don't seek his counsel. And we end up a decade, 2 decades down the road, and we're in trouble. And we wonder, what happened to my life? I'm a victim. The world hates me. No. Consider your ways. Consider the decisions you made and the ways that you walked. He says, seek for the old path. That means go back to the way that God originally had intended it to be. You know, if you preach abstinence to this society, you're going to get laughed off the stage. Now, we'd rather kill these babies than to be abstinent. That's where we're at now. And it's kindled the anger of the Lord. But we as God's people, we have to understand that when that decision is before us, we need to immediately seek God. And it's not just the sexual realm. Sometimes our marriages can be upside down because we think that our part in the marriage is to win. We have a disagreement. Okay, well, I'm going to have to win this one. And rather than just slow down. Just be kind to one another. Walk away. Go to your separate corners. Get on your knees and pray. Amen. And then when you come back together in the middle of the ring, give each other a hug. And you both win. But many times we want to win. We want to be the victor. And the Lord is saying, no, consider your ways. By default, all of us want to be winners, but sometimes the winners are the losers. Because, yeah, I've always won in my marriage. All three of them, I was the winner. But you didn't have three of them. And so you may have won the fight, but you lost the entire battle. And so the Lord this morning is saying, Jesus said that. He said, I am the way. I am the way. You lean on Jesus to help you make every, not to help you. Not to help you. Let him make that decision and you go the direction that he tells you to go. And I know in my own personal walk, this will force you to decrease. This will force you to realize the error of your ways. Seek for the old path, wherein is the good way. And walk therein. I mean, once the Lord has showed you this is how you navigate that, walk exactly the way that he told you. And you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. And this is the attitude right now of society on a whole. And I think probably the attitude of many Christians. We're simply not going to walk in God's way. I don't want that. That's not what I want for me. I want something else for me. See, here's God's way. And he's got a lot of ways, but this is the fundamental, the core of what he has for all human beings. He wants you to grow from adolescence into an adult. He wants you to mature both physically and spiritually. He wants you to find a life partner to enter into marriage. To go make babies. Did you know that God set that up? Man didn't devise making babies. God set that up. Raise a family and teach your family, your children, the fear and admonition of the Lord. Teach them to worship the Lord. That's God's plan for the human race. But we say, no, we're not walking in that. We're going to change it just a little bit. We prefer something different. Let's drop the marriage part. We'll just make babies. And then after we've done that for a life, you know, we don't even need to make babies. Let's just have sex, man with man, woman with woman. We'll just do that. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. Now, you and I, some of the problems that I'm mentioning here, you and I, pray God, don't have these type of problems, but we can have problems in our careers. Do you know the default mindset is to excel in our personal careers over and beyond our spiritual walk with God? We get caught up in our career, which I remind you is only temporary. Just get sick and they'll throw you out. But we begin to worship our place of employment over and above our responsibilities to worship the Lord. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof have a negative impact upon our happiness. We say, oh, well, there's more money on this job. I'm not making no money in worship. I got to make that money. I was thinking about this earlier today. I make less money now than I did at any part of my career. Me and Sister Lincoln together, collectively, we make less money now. Both of us made way more money when we were working. But yet, even though we have less money, man, our lives are good. I mean, if eggs go up a dollar, I don't know. Unless you tell me and I can look at it and see, yeah, it's up a dollar. Because the Lord has taught us this is how you navigate the situation. This is how you do it. Okay, I'm going to get off my message for just a minute. We were making big money back in the day. We were making good money. And this is back when money really was money. 30 years ago, right now it's like Monopoly money. And we went to build our first house. And the lady said, we told the lady what we want. We went to build it. And she said, well, I'm looking at your finances. You can have a way bigger house than this. And I think that house is, I don't know, maybe 2,400 square feet. They said, man, you need to scale up. You need to go get the big one. She said, because your finances are good. You can afford it. And my wife and I thought about it and said, no, we're not. We don't want to do that. We'll just buy this one. We're cool. And we did. And then when we sold that house 10 years later, we rolled that money over into the new house. And in less than 7 years, we paid it off. And so though we're making just a little bit of money now, we don't have no house note. Cars are paid off. If you will let the Lord navigate you through life in your decision-making, don't lean to your understanding. Acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways. Let him direct your path. And although you won't get everything that you want, you'll have to live a disciplined, you'll have to be more disciplined in your life. You'll have constraints put on you by the Holy Spirit. But yet you'll live in abundance. My attitude towards it now is, I'm remembering back when the gas was going up. Remember gasoline was going up way high? And my whole attitude is, I don't care if it goes up to $10 a gallon. Because my Father takes care of me. He's going to show me how to navigate through this because my ear is inclined to him. I'm listening to him. I make no decisions without doing two things. Number one is I consult the Lord first. I already consult the Lord. Number two is I consult my wife. Praise God. Pastor Lincoln, that's good. And then what the Lord gives me is absolute. What my wife gives me, I have to consider that as well. But if the Lord gives me a hard direction, it doesn't matter what I say or what she says. We got to go the Lord's way. We got to go his way. And so the people said, we will not walk therein. We don't want God's ways. They're antiquated. They're old, you know, they're old-fashioned. We don't want the old-fashioned thing. And so now we have, as Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 2, we have a society having eyes full of adultery. Have you ever seen, how many have a social media, any type of social account that you are on, any kind? I'm not going to beat you up. It's okay. I have an Instagram account, and there's an algorithm in there. I'm a fitness guy, and so I'm always into fitness streams. And so the algorithm always gets it wrong and starts putting naked women in my stream. And when I say naked, I mean just not fully clothed, just, you know, uncomfortably clothed. And I realize that we have, especially our younger generations, they are like their mentality is what a stripper was 30 years ago. People are actually putting stripper poles in their house. I'm not making this up, saints. And they learn stripper moves in their house, in their bikinis. And I'm thinking, what has happened to our society having eyes full of adultery? that cannot cease from sin. Beguiling unstable souls, a heart they have exercised with covetous practices, their cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and gone astray. What it means is that they did not stand in the paths and see, or if they did, they didn't ask. They didn't pray. They didn't ask the Lord, which direction did I move in? How should I navigate this? And saints, even in the smallest little areas of your life, make sure you acknowledge God. Make sure that your spirit is open so that you can hear from Him, so that you don't make a misstep. I know you're smart. I'm smart, but I'm not smart enough. I'm logical, but I'm not logical enough. And so I have to go to the Lord. And I have no problems. I was just talking to somebody about this week. Almost always when I come to prayer with any kind of decision, any kind of situation we have in the ministry or in my personal life, I'm walking this floor sometimes in tears. And I said, God, I don't know what I'm doing. I need your direction. I need you to move me whatever direction you want. I have no preference. I just want to know what your will is and how I navigate this. And God always... He also, it's not always an audible voice where you hear, go left, my child, go left. It's not always that, but you just feel after Him and you realize this is the way that I need to be moving. And then He'll give you signs along the way that you're going, this is the right direction. You're doing it correctly. And if you go the wrong way, there'll be signs along the way. You're messing up bad. You're really messing it up. You need to turn around. You need to turn around and go back. How many know what I'm talking about? Thank God for the Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us into all truth. And here's what Jesus said. He said, I am the way and the truth. See, you cannot walk in the way that's called Jesus unless you're walking in His truth. And there's no way that you're going to get to life, the abundance of life, if you're going the wrong direction. As a matter of fact, it was Thomas had asked him and said, well, we don't know where you're going. So we definitely don't know the way. But he was saying the right thing. We don't know the way. And Jesus said, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No man gets to the Father except you allow Jesus to direct your life, direct your steps. I don't care how long you've been saved. If you stop listening to God, you'll go right back like a sow to a waddling in the mire, like a dog to the vomit. You'll go right back because you're the same flesh you've always been. As a matter of fact, the lives that we live now, the sanctified lives, it's because the Holy Spirit is gripping us. He's holding us. He's holding us where we need to be. And you know what? That's wonderful. Thank God. But God, could you hold me a little tighter? Could you grip my mind a little tighter? Because I don't want to be kind of like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man. It's a danger for all of us. It's a danger. We need to stop and take advantage of God's willingness to speak into our lives and give us direction. So I said, well, why can't I just figure it out myself? Well, here's what God said. My ways are not your ways. He said, my thoughts, they're not your thoughts. I have a little toy chihuahua at the house. Had it since it was a little baby. It thinks that I'm its pack leader. My wife can tell it to go outside. It'll just look at her. I can say, go outside. And boom, right out. But that little chihuahua, although it loves me and I love it, but it cannot begin to comprehend what goes on in my mind because it doesn't have the capacity. Well, you and I, we cannot begin to comprehend what goes on in the mind of our God. And thus he says, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Take advantage of that. It's not just a little bit. He said, as high as the heavens are over the earth, so are my ways higher than yours. And so I want to take advantage of that, and I want to walk in His ways. I want Him to direct me in all of my ways. I want to acknowledge Him. so that I'm not making decisions. You ever been traveling in a city that you don't know and you didn't know to go right or left, so you just, I'll just go left. Then you had to go down there and take a U-turn because you should have went right. Well, we don't want to do that in life. We don't want to be moving the wrong direction. Listen, we have a limited time between our birth date and our death date. We don't want to be doing all U-turns. Somewhere in there, we want to set a path. Here's something else. Don't let life just happen to you. Don't let life just occur. My God, set a path. Set a path and say, Lord, can I go this way? Is this a good way to go? And then as you go down that path, the Holy Spirit will help you in the times that you're weak, in the times that you're confused, because now you're going His way, and the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you all of the way if you are going in His direction. If you're going in your own direction, guess what? You're on your own. Good luck. But sooner or later, you're going to have to come back the Lord's way. In the book of Matthew, chapter 7, again, Jesus is speaking. And He says, enter you in at the straight gate. Now, the straight gate is narrow because it's disciplined. It's constrained. You can't just do anything you want to do. And listen, and you can't just say anything you want to say. You're under constant discipline. I've always had this problem. How many talk too fast? You know, it's on your mind, now it's out your mouth. You can't, boom, boom. I can see people nodding their head, but nobody will raise their hand with me. But I know you're out there. But the straight gate is constrained. So one of the first things the Holy Spirit does is He begins to put controls on your tongue. You might think it fast, but you don't say it quite as fast. Enter you in at the straight gate, because wide is the gate and broad is the way. Now the wide gate, it would seem like if you had a skinny little gate here that you'd have to suck in and go through sideways right here, and you had a wide one over there, well, logic says, well, go through the wide one. Why are you squeezing through here when the big one's there? But Jesus said, no, go through the narrow gate. Go through the gate that's disciplined, that has constraints to it. Because wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Now, stand in the path. There's a narrow gate, there's a wide gate. See, there's two different gates. Now ask. And Jesus answered it right here. Take the narrow one. Because wide is the gate and broad is the way. It just simply means that it's undisciplined. It's very permissive. The wide gate is very permissive. Do what you want to. Just waddle in any way you want to. Bring in whatever vices of life you want to bring in. It's a wide gate. Plenty of room for you and all your junk. But it leads to destruction. Now, it's interesting. When somebody stands in the way and you see the two gates, you're just looking at the gates. But right behind that gate, there's a path. And at the end of that path is a destination. One of them is life, and the other one is destruction. You can't always tell when you're looking at the gates because you can't see what's at the end. But God is omniscient. He can see everything. And if you just simply ask Him, He'll tell you which gate to take. Straight is the gate. Narrows the way that leads into life, and few there be that find it. Let's go back. I want to bring this out. Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many, there it is, and many there be which go thereat. This is the default. Human beings want the easy route. We want the path of least resistance. And simply, you can't grow that way. Even in the natural, you can't grow that way. Most people don't want to go to the gym and pick up heavy weights and until your body is trembling because you're so fatigued. That's not the path most people want to take. Nevertheless, that's the path that makes you grow. Are you with me? That's the path that makes you strong. We look for the path of least resistance, How about a bag of Lay's potato chips and we just Netflix and chill for the next 4 months? And then at the end of that period of time, you compare the two people, the gym person, the couch potato, put them together, and it's obvious which one took the right path. Well, listen, the thing is that, ask God at the beginning, what should I be doing? Many there be that go thereat. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads to life, and just a few. It's just a few that are willing to deny themselves. Say, God, I just want your will done in my life. I want to be what you want me to be. God has plans for every one of his people. There's not a person in this room that God doesn't have a perfect plan for your life. But many times he can't work out that plan because you will not cooperate with him. And so he does the very best he can with what you give him. But if you would give him submission, if you would give him cooperation. I started working when I was, I think, maybe 13. My dad had us working before we was even legal. And worked all the way till I was, I don't know, 38. And as a computer programmer, just running the rat race, I mean, making good money, but always looking for more money, doing whatever needed to be done to make more money. And in one moment, God took me off that job. I've worked all my life building up to this. You're done. And brought me to this place making less money. Less. But yet my life is abundant. I'm full. I mean, he satisfied my soul. And there's things like, well, are you going to go to Dubai? There's nothing in my heart wanting to go to Dubai. There's nothing there. Well, are you going to go on a world tour? There's nothing here that wants a world tour. I want to worship him. All those frivolous things that we catch our minds up with, those are gone. And I'm full. I'm happy. Listen, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man. But the scripture tells us the end thereof is the ways of death. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room? Father, we thank you that I've done my best to try to explain to your people the importance of seeking your face in every decision in life, the big decisions, but also the small decisions, the public decisions, but also the private decisions. Lord, that we might know your will in every situation, that we might walk according to your will and your heart. God, I've made my missteps. My past is littered with them. But God, going forward, I want your will. I want you to direct my paths. I want you to lead me beside the still waters. Lead me to the green pastures. Come on, all over the room, would you stand to your feet this morning? Just stand to your feet. And just begin to reach out. Don't be concerned about what mistakes you may have made in the past. This is a new day. Just begin to reach out to the Lord right now. Father, I need you to help me. Lord, I'm not smart enough. I'm not logical enough. I need the benefit of your understanding. Help me, Lord, in the decisions of life. Oh God, give me insight. Help me to pursue you in prayer. Help me to pursue you in spirit and in truth. Lord, that I might have the direction in my life that I need. Come on, just reach out to the Lord this morning. Sometimes God doesn't want to just hear the preacher's mouth. Sometimes he wants to hear your mouth. God, help me today. Come on, just reach out to the Lord. Just reach out.
Yes, God. We pray that we decrease so that you may increase in us, God. God, we thank you for your word as a lamp unto our feet. God, you will show us the path that we need to choose, God. We thank you for every misstep, every wrong direction that we have chosen. We know that there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, God. God, you are God that corrects us. You are God that puts us back on that straight path when we go the wrong way, God. God, we humble our hearts. God, we give you our lives. We surrender once again our lives as we will do every day this day forth. And we just let you take charge, God. You are the path we choose, Jesus. You are the truth, the way, and the life. There is no way we can get to the Father except but through you. And we thank you, Jesus. We thank you for that old rugged cross that you died on. We thank you for making a way for us, God, to just have your grace and your mercy, God. And we thank you for Jesus. You are the reason for this season, and we will choose you this day forth. We love you. In Jesus' most holy, precious name we pray. Amen. We do have a few announcements. If you haven't given, please continue to give. This ministry, we give the word of God. These pastors, they love God, and they just want the gospel to go forth. This is the ministry you should donate to. And first worship is going to be December 31st. Please come out and join us at 11 p.m. If you would like to volunteer to help clean up, there are sheets out there on the table to sign up for. We do need volunteers. And if you have not already, today is the cutoff for the food basket. So if you have any items to donate, please continue to donate to the food pantry. And remember, there is no Bible class on December 25th as well as January the 1st. So we love you. Go forth in fellowship, and you are dismissed. Merry Christmas.